For many years, commentator Playfell Benjamin could see the Twin Towers from the window of his apartment, and the day of the attack, he watched the towers come down. Here are his thoughts on the 11th anniversary of the World Trade Center attacks.
It was a crystal clear day just like today, with blue cloudless skies, when the great terror struck New York a decade ago. As I surveyed the panoramic view of downtown Manhattan from my window in Harlem Sugar Hill this morning, while listening to replays of the actual broadcast on WNBC, it all came back to me, bubbling up from the dusty basements of my consciousness. The skyline of Manhattan looks natural now, but for a long time after the hijacked airliners crashed into the towers, bringing them down before our eyes, the city looked lopsided. The Twin Towers were clearly visible from my windows, and I witnessed the second plane crash into the tower and saw them fall. The towers looked different ways on different days, depending upon how the sun rays were reflecting off them. They were a daily part of my life. Hence, I felt an acute sense of loss and had a hard time adjusting to the look of the city without the giant towers. Since I began writing down my responses to the tragedy within hours after it happened, there's a clear record of my reaction. Then, as now, I was appalled by the widespread sense of denial by my countrymen. Their expressions of disbelief and insistence on America's innocence rang hollow with me. I had been expecting a terrorist attack for several months because of the Palestinian Intifada provoked by Israeli leader Ariel Sharon, a hardcore hawk, when he created an incident at the Dome of the Rock, which the Muslims call the Mosque of Omar. As I watched the violence on television, with Palestinians throwing rocks and the Israelis firing bullets, I became convinced that we would see a terrorist attack in response. As the Palestinian people danced in the streets at the sight of the collapsing towers, I was convinced I had been right, in spite of a swift statement of denial from Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. But history would soon prove me wrong. I had the right string, but the wrong yo-yo, as the song goes. The attack had been the result of misguided American policy in the Middle East, but the perpetrators had a different argument with the U.S., and the Palestinian issue was almost ancillary. Al-Qaeda was a far more deadly enemy, and unlike the Palestinian issue, which has a resolution, there's no obvious solution to the conflict between us. Theirs is a historic grievance, inspired by a rejection of modern secular society itself. We had made an enemy that would never go away. Entered a state of total and permanent war that wouldn't end until one side or the other was annihilated. The Bushmen's misunderstanding of the nature of global jihad made the 9/11 assault possible. Despite ongoing attempts to cast the Bush administration as innocent victims of clandestine, volatile forces that nobody could have predicted, the historical record shows otherwise. The evidence reveals a pattern of arrogance, ignorance, and indifference to the advice of intelligence experts that led directly to 9/11 and the Iraq and Afghan wars that we're still fighting 11 years later. This is the lesson of very two important books on the subject. Your Government Failed You by Richard Clark, the former terrorism czar under Clinton, written shortly after the attack, and the newly published 500 Days, Secrets and Lies in the Terror Wars by Kurt Eichenwald, a contributing editor at Vanity Fair and a former New York Times reporter. The minimal essential lesson all Americans must learn from the 9/11 attack is that in order to avoid disaster in the future, is that meddling in Middle Eastern politics is a dangerous business, and politicizing intelligence to justify a war of choice is deadly folly. From New York City, this is Playfell Benjamin with a commentary on the Times.